SBS Radio.
In this bulletin, Victoria edges closer to treaty as its first People's Assembly is elected. And the federal government accused of trying to hide an unfavorable report about its regional jobs and investment program. And the horse that won the Melbourne Cup may try and make it two victories in a row in next year's race. The Victorian government's historic treaty negotiations with the state's Aboriginal communities are one step closer this week with the election of the First People's Assembly. The First People's Assembly comprises 21 members elected from five different regions across the state. Treaty Advancement Commissioner Jill Gallagher says the elections mark a transformative moment in the treaty process.
Australia is the only Commonwealth country in the world that does not have treaties with the First Peoples of that country. I think it's very significant that Victoria, almost 4 years ago now, embarked on a treaty process, and the process has got us to where we are today. This is only the next step in the treaties. The tasks that the Assembly has is enormous, but I'm very confident that we have the right people on the Assembly to take us to the next stage.
The First People's Assembly will develop the rules by which individual treaties will be negotiated between the Victorian government and the various Victorian Aboriginal clans or nations. It means Victoria could become the first Australian tier of government to sign a treaty with Aboriginal sovereign nations. The film Emu Runner by Imogen Thomas will hit Australian screens tomorrow. Emu Runner tells the story about the impact a mother's death has on an Aboriginal family living in an isolated community. Ngemba woman Fran Barker from Brewarrina in New South Wales, where the film is set and shot, worked alongside Thomas Imogen, assisting with her in-depth cultural knowledge. Fran Barker says Emu Runner seeks to tell in a non-judgmental way the issues faced by Aboriginal people in remote communities like hers and the misunderstandings with non-Aboriginal people. Fran Barker also says the film played a role in bringing the Brewarrina community together.
Brought all the community together, you know, non-Aboriginal as well as Aboriginal. You know, we all worked on this movie, so it's a part of Brewarrina that everyone came together and we were all proud of something all together. So we established something, you know, all together, and no one got paid for anything. It was all voluntary.
In a new report, Indigenous academics are calling for a fresh look at the governance and practices of mainstream environmental management institutions. The call comes as large agricultural drought, bushfires, and introduced species reduce Australia's biodiversity and long-term prosperity. Dr. Samantha Muller of Flinders University, lead author of the report, says Aboriginal Australians' worldview and connection to country provide a rich source of knowledge and innovations for better land and water management policies. The federal opposition is accusing the government of trying to hide a report critical of a scheme trying to boost regional jobs. The Regional Jobs and Investment Package program, on which $220 million has been spent, was the result of the Liberal National Party pledge during the 2016 federal election campaign. The Auditor General's report into the scheme has found late applications were still given taxpayer funds and other applications got funds under the scheme despite not meeting guidelines. Labor MP Tanya Plibersek has told Sky News the timing of the report's release yesterday, the same day as the Melbourne Cup horse race, is far from a coincidence.
Isn't it amazing that you would release a report like that when everybody's obsessing over the Melbourne Cup? I mean, this is a shocking report that shows that money was directed to projects that were not recommended by the responsible department, that ministers interfered in the selection of projects, how cynical is it that we've got a government that thinks that they can slip it out in the shadow of the Melbourne Cup and nobody will notice? It's so dodgy.
And a group of 11,000 scientists from over 153 countries have formally declared a climate emergency after analysing over 40 years of global data. They say the data show immediate action needs to be taken to stop global warming, or else widespread human suffering is likely to occur. The declaration also outlines six areas that need to be acted on to mitigate the impacts of global warming, including energy, short-lived pollutants, nature, food, economy and population. Greens climate change spokesman Adam Band has welcomed the scientists' declaration.
We've got farmers who are suffering through record drought. We've got towns that are being told they might run out of water. We had parts of Australia start burning barely a couple of weeks out of winter. We are in a climate emergency, and the first step towards fixing the problem is admitting that you've got a problem. And if the parliament follows the lead of the scientists and declares a climate emergency, then we can refocus the whole of the country's efforts into stopping the climate crisis getting worse.
And overseas, United States President Donald Trump is offering to help Mexico fight drug cartels after the shooting deaths of 9 U.S. nationals in northern Mexico. 6 children were among the dead, another 6 were found alive, and at least 1 is still missing. Mexico's security secretary says the large vehicles the victims were traveling in may have been mistaken by one drug gang for the cars of a rival drug gang. The victims lived in a decades-old Mormon settlement. U.S. Senator Mitt Romney, who represents Utah, known as the state of Mormonism, says he agrees with Trump's offer to help in the wake of the tragedy.
Obviously, it's a great tragedy when any citizens, Mexican or American, in this case American citizens, are brutally murdered. And it's moms and children. This is really unthinkable. And, you know, I agree with the president when he says Mexico has to really knuckle down and go after some of these cartels and stop this escalating level of violence, and hope that if there's a way we can help in that effort, that we're called upon to do so.
And back home, Melbourne Cup winning trainer Daniel Bryan says the Cup winning horse will very possibly return to the same race next year. Vow and Declare narrowly won Australia's most famous race yesterday at Flemington Racecourse in Melbourne. Vow and Declare's win has given both trainer O'Brien and jockey Craig Williams their first ever Melbourne Cup win. O'Brien says the horse will need to be better if he's to become just the fifth horse in the more than 150 years history of the race to win 2 Melbourne Cups in a row.
Next year, I would say the most likely thing for him is that he comes back and has another go at it. He's only just turned 4, and he'll be a better horse next spring, and he'll need to be, because he'll have to carry more weight. And but ultimately, it's a 3,200 metre race that's on just across the road from where he lives, and it's an $8 million race. So the most likely thing for us is that we'd try and see if he could win again.
The Victorian Spring Racing Carnival continues tomorrow with Oaks Day at Flemington. And having a look at the weather around the country, Perth, a sunny day, 26. Adelaide, possible shower, 21. Melbourne, a shower or 2, 23. Hobart, shower or 2, 20. Albury-Wodonga, mostly cloudy, 22. Canberra, mostly sunny, 24. Wollongong, a sunny day, 25. Sydney, similar conditions, but 26. Newcastle, also sunny and 26. Brisbane, much the same, 28. Townsville, mostly sunny, top of 30. Cairns, partly cloudy, 31. Alice Springs, a sunny day, 29. Darwin, mostly sunny, 35. And the Torres Strait Islands, a mostly sunny day, and a top of 29. And that is NITV Radio News.
sbs.com.au